I don't think we've ever seen him more up and about. He's got the front page story on the Daily Telegraph today. He predicted the ambush, and it saluted when Parramatta beat Penrith last Thursday night. He is Dean Bulldog, front page, co-host, Big Sports Breakfast Weekend, Daily Telegraph, Richie. Good morning, mate.
How good morning. How are we all?
Did you get any apologies from
co-hosts? No, nothing just yet, but I thought it would be this morning, so...
What's that about? Morning, boy.
About the ambush, Clarkey, which I tipped last week, which you and your mate to your right rubbished me, humiliated me, mocked me, mimicked me.
What was the ambush? Was that Tigers ambushing?
Parramatta versus Penrith. And you know what? There's an old saying, Clarkey.
Parramatta versus Penrith. When was that? A couple of weeks ago?
There's an old saying.
When did Parra play Penrith?
You don't learn when you're talking.
Is that right?
So I'm going to sit here right now and just listen, because I want a couple of apologies, so I'm just going to butt out for a minute or so.
But aren't... I'm the one that's meant to be learning here, aren't I? You're teaching me, so maybe I should listen.
For mocking me over the Parramatta victory, I'm waiting. Go. Bulldog, I'm sorry. That's what we have to say.
Is Bulldog talking to you lots?
Because he's definitely not talking to me.
But we actually said last week that the ambush could happen.
Of course. None from three. Well, mate,
no coincidence, they're going to try and win.
Oh, thanks for the scoop, Bulldog.
That's exactly right. Now he's taking it as if I've predicted Parramatta to win.
Mate, there's a whisper around. They're training hard. You reckon?
I must
say. So they should. They were 0-3.
The ambush did come late.
Bulldog, you were right.
Thank you, Clarkey.
I was wrong.
You're a man.
Parramatta were brilliant.
They deserve to win.
And I got it wrong again.
Thank you. Can we get that as a grab for next week, please, Jono?
Stick that in your exclusive.
Okay. Laurie, your turn.
I apologised on text.
I beg your pardon. I read it. I'm happy to read it out on air if you like.
If that's an apology, I want to do that every day.
It was most unsavory, Laurie's text.
I thought his language was outstanding. We could all understand it. Put it that way, Bulldog.
You knew where you stood.
Yeah. There was no grey there, Clarkey.
No sugarcoating the bullet.
Front page Daily Telegraph. Don't pass the buck. NRL CEOs demand new stadiums from Min. So, new premier. Everyone with their hand out going, gimme, gimme, gimme. And amongst those were the Tigers, Sharks, Manly chief executives, Bulldog, want money for stadium upgrades.
This is going to be a big story, Mido. This will keep developing in the next few days. The three clubs united yesterday in seeking money for stadium upgrades. Not forgetting Dominic Perrottet and the previous government had a handshake agreement with Peter Volandis and then backflipped. And because of that, the NRL now has the ability to take grand finals interstate. They had a deal. If the stadium deal was done, the grand final would be here until 2042. That deal's off the table. With Chris Minns, now the Premier, and a NRL Bulldogs fan, the club thought, well, we will now go and ask for some money to see whether we can upgrade our stadiums, which are decaying, particularly Brookvale, Leichhardt, Campbelltown, and Shark Park. They're the main ones. The three CEOs and chairmen were very strong in their views, in wanting that money, because we don't want to lose suburban grounds laws. But Chris Minns on the ABC this morning has come out and said, no, you won't get your money. So within a day of Chris Minns being sworn in, he is on a collision course with rugby league.
Yeah, and I can understand that. I can understand the league wanting to upgrade their facilities because some of them certainly need money spent on them. And the government want to prioritise where they put the money. And I certainly can't be critical of the government for putting that money towards health and education. But it does leave New South Wales vulnerable to losing the grand final and possibly other state of origin games. But I think we've said on this program before that, yes, we'd love to see the grand final stay here in Sydney, but the only way they're going to do that if the government fund it. And if by opening it up to other states, it might generate more money into the game. And it's something that, you know, sports around the world do. They take their biggest prize to different cities, and that's a possibility now moving forward under the new commission. And especially now that the government or the previous government reneged on the deal, Chris Mims has now said that, yep, it's not on the table. So I can understand why the league will go to the marketplace and look for the highest bidder.
I worry about the suburban grounds, Laurie. Your Brookvales and your Leichhardts, they're the main two that come to mind. Yep. Obviously, Campbelltown, Shark Park. If they don't get any financial loving, though, and if Chris Mims is saying no, that's four more years of no love.
Yeah.
At what point does health and safety come into the issue and those grounds get closed down? Yeah. And that, to me, would be a travesty.
Yeah, it would be.
But are they that bad, though, Bulldog? Are the grounds that bad?
Clarkie, like, they're not great.
And the only reason I'm asking is because I'm playing in India, Bangladesh, Pakistan, wherever. Now, our club grounds are better than the international grounds. So are we being, you know, are our facilities that bad?
They're not that bad, Clarkie. But do we want to take our game to another level in terms of spectator comfort? And I would imagine that upgraded suburban grounds could also be open then to potentially playing some A-League there, maybe some Super Rugby, Club Rugby, rock concerts, sport. Whatever it might be. That. They're trying to make it a multi-purpose upgrade. But I don't want to lose Leichhardt. I don't want to lose Brooklyn.
No, I don't think anyone disagrees with you there, mate. I think that we'd love to see all these facilities get the money and the facelift that we want them to have and we expect them to have here in this country. But when other issues are at play, and in particular when health is struggling and
education. I agree. You're right. But every element in society has an allocation from the government. They will get their allocation, and they should get their allocation.
Yep.
We have to have nurses, doctors, hospitals, education.
Yep.
I'm all for it. But you can't tip every single cent into those areas. You've got to spread the money around for other areas in the community.
I get all that, but I'd rather a strong health system than a strong Leichhardt Oval.
Well, why can't we have both?
Well, I'm saying if we have both, that's great. But if they can't afford to do it, they can't afford to do it. Because when you're at your vulnerable, most vulnerable, and you need help off the health department, they say, well, hang on, no, we can't fit you in today because we've spent all the money at Leichhardt Oval. What are you going to do?
Again, I agree. I'm not going against the preface of what you're discussing, but I'm just saying there should be, and there are, allocations in different areas. They will get their funding and they will get their
millions. We all agree with that, Bulldog. We all agree with that. But you've got to prioritise where the money goes. And I'm a rugby league supporter, and I want to see the stadiums get the best possible facelift they can get. But I certainly don't want it at the expense of the health system.
No, neither do I. Neither do I. But I think there should be allocations there which are for varying aspects of community. And rugby league and grounds should be in there. I'd love to see a list.
What about
of
all sports here?
Well, I'd love not to see a rugby list league. Of where
well,
the money goes.
Not only rugby league. Why don't we upgrade rugby union grounds?
Cricket.
AFL grounds.
Well, they will be.
Well, there's a lot of money there, mate.
Well,
there's a lot of money there. We are rugby league people, and we want to see all the venues that rugby league has played at be upgraded. But once you start doing a few of them, you watch everyone else put their hand out. And then where does it leave the money? And have we got enough money then to upgrade stadiums for every sport?
Well, you've got to hand pick which stadiums you upgrade. Clearly, you can't upgrade every stadium. It's just not financially practical. But I still think there is scope there for some money.
Oh, you're going to get money, but you're not going to get the amount of money that
you might
not
get the whole... Exactly. But at least give them something. I'd love to see a list that the government produce of where some of our tax money goes. And I reckon there'd be a lot on there that you would say, why are they getting millions?
Ah, for sure.
And there's grounds sitting there dying day by day.
All right, let's move on. And, well, surviving the axe this week, a prominent player and referee as well. On the player front, Luke Brooks at the Tigers and Chris Sutton, who refereed the South's Manly game and adjudged that forward pass, which wasn't even close to forward, Bulldog.
Yeah, there was a bit of scuttlebutt yesterday that Chris Sutton may, in fact, get the axe. He survived. I think he's been appointed to the West Tigers Broncos game on Saturday night up in Brisbane. Certainly, he is under pressure now. One more error and he will go. But look, it was a bad mistake. It cost Manly. It prompted Tony Mestroff, their CEO, to call for technology to come in for forward passes. I'm a dummy, I know that. I can't sit here and throw forward how technology would work for forward passes.
I was about to ask you that question. Are we bringing more stoppages into the game and how would it obviously work?
How would it work? Correct. Yeah. And the game this year, there's less stoppages from the bunker.
I think it's been great.
And it's been great. Look at what we're getting when the bunkers stick their nose out of our great game. So stay out of it. Let the players play, and the rewards of what we're seeing in
games
the first four
rounds. Going for over two hours.
2 hours. Ridiculous.
Now it's come down by at least 10, 12 minutes.
So is there room for technology laws for forward passes, or do we just have to live with the fact that errors will be made, you'll win some and you'll lose some?
You'd have to convince me how it's going to be used. That's all. And what are you going to stop it for? Is it just going to be on try-scoring plays? Is it going to be, on ruck passes? Is it going to be on backline passes? Is it everything? What happens if the referee misses it? Does a bell go off or someone gets in the ref's ear and says, stop the game, forward pass, scrum? I just don't know how it's going to work, and then does it stop the flow of the game?
You've still got...
Because the flow at the moment is really good. Mm. I like how their referees have been left to adjudicate it. And, yes, we might blow up about one forward pass, but it's,
Do we really need the technology? I think Cookie said, if you're going to whinge and complain or say we got it wrong at the end of the game, then if you can see it at the end of the game, you can see it during the game. So call it there. Or you go your way and say, mate, just let it go. We've got enough stoppages. But then don't come out at the end of the game and say, yeah, we got that wrong. Just let go. It's the game. Move on. It's like a bad decision in cricket. Yeah. Mate, they even themselves out.
I just don't like the idea of stopping it for forward passes. Yeah. I think we've just got to accept that can happen. It doesn't happen all that often, like the one on the weekend. You would like to think they get that one right, but occasionally they miss it. If we're going to just keep stopping the game just for passes that are subjective, but the technology says it went backwards, and then you look at it on video and go, hang on, that doesn't travel backwards.
Yeah, you're going to fight the technology then.
Yeah. What do you do then?
I guess the headlines were also due to the fact that it was a one-point loss to Manly.
Yeah, of course.
Had it been 26-0, it probably wouldn't have got the headlines that it did. As for Luke Brooks, there was a fair bit of scuttlebutt around rugby league yesterday that after his poor performance last week that Sheensy might get the guillotine out, but it didn't happen. Sheens has shown faith in Luke Brooks. He'll be there again this week for the Broncos game. I just wonder how much pressure is building on Luke Brooks and where does it end with Luke Brooks? Does he have to leave, Laurie? Does he need a stint in New South Wales Cup? Do we leave him alone? Is he playing as bad as what we think? What's your take on the entire Luke Brooks situation?
There's a couple of things. I think you always wish for something better, but I don't know what's underneath. I don't know whether Brendan Wakeham is the future of the West Tigers, and I don't know whether he's going to be consistent with his performances and any better than Luke Brooks over a period of time. Possibly could drop Luke Brooks for a week or two. What are you trying to get out of that? Do you try and say, go back to reserve grade, find a bit of form and we'll pick you? Or does he get dropped and then drops his head and you've lost him for the rest of the year? Does he look for a new club? I think the split might happen at the end of the year. He's off contract. And that's when it might get a little bit more serious for the West Tigers if they've got to work out whether they want to sign him again and what type of money he may be able to get on the open market. But it's just not working. I hate putting all the blame on him.
Yeah.
He's got to receive a fair bit of his criticism like everyone else, and I don't think it's bullying. I think it's just people looking at the game and saying, as a number seven, your responsibilities are X, Y, and Z. And he's, I hate talking about like the KPIs of a halfback. He's not doing that.
Well, end of the highest paid player. Mm.
Yeah.
You know, he's been that for a number of years at the Tigers. So unfortunately or fortunately, depends how you look at it, it's you never get significant money without significant responsibility. And
Clarkie,
accountability.
Can
and
I ask you a question?
When you see that $1 million tag, you better know what comes with it.
What comes with
Don't
games.
Sign it if you're not ready for it.
The equivalent of that, Clarkie, Luke Brooks going back to New South Wales Cup.
Yep.
The cricket equivalent would be a test player being dropped back to Sheffield Shield to refine his form. If you're a test player and went back to Shield, do you take that as a opportunity to try to get your game back in order?
Yeah,
or do you just throw your toys out of the cot and think, stuff this?
Well, it happened
to
me, didn't it? 2005, after I made my debut and scored a stack of runs, then I went a period without scoring runs. I got dropped. I had to go back to Shield cricket.
How did you cop it, though? On the chin, or were you
I was devastated. My dream was taken away from. I was brokenhearted. But as my old man said to me at the time, he said, mate, you're not going to get better on the couch. You want to get back in that Australian team. Go and make runs for New South Wales. So, yeah, I think for... It's never a nice feeling, especially when you've not only played at the highest level, but been successful at the highest level. So then to not be performing and get dropped is a slap in the face. But, mate, don't be someone that hasn't suffered that through their life. You know, it's part of... That's the learning. And unfortunately for... Like I said, I think Monday, and I think I've said it before... I actually don't think Luke Brooks is a number 7 anymore. I think he's more a 9 or a 14. And that's not just at the Tigers. I think wherever he signs, I don't think he's a number 7 anymore. I don't think he's been able to handle the responsibility and accountability that comes with a number 7 in the NRL.
The Joseph Swali'i story has been enormous and somewhat inevitable, I think. Bulldog, $1.6 million, the suggested price tag per year. What have you made of it?
Good luck to him. I've got no problem with a bloke that wants to earn double his pay for half the work. In a nutshell, I've got no problem.
Pretty hard to knock back 1.6 million.
I think 1.6 is, personally, I think it's over the top. I think he's a brilliant young player. He's got all the skills, Laurie. He's savvy, he's quick, he's strong, he's powerful, he's got a great football brain. I don't think 19, though, is worth 1.6 million, but you're only worth what someone offers. It's like when you sell your home, isn't it?
And the other thing about he's played rugby union.
Correct.
It's not a junior rugby league player, even though he's played rugby league. I mean, he obviously loves union, but to be offered $1.6 million as a 19-year-old, you sit in that office and someone says that to you.
What are you going
to
do?
It's different if it's a hypothetical, but when you sit there and they actually put it in front of you and you see the bottom line of how much you're going to earn over the next 3 years, pretty hard to knock back.
I thought Sterling Mortlock's quotes were interesting on the segment before mine this morning.
Thanks for listening.
I always listen. Saying that it was more an indictment on rugby union that they couldn't sign him as a kid for minimal money, and now I've got to go back 4 or 5 years later and sign him for a three-year deal worth almost $5 million.
It's something the sport's got to figure out. This has been an issue in rugby for a long, long time. Loz and I have both seen great kids come through who rugby, for some reason, just don't. And there's an example just there with Swali'i. There has to be a fund there or something to lock them up when they're 16, 17.
Well,
you've seen them.
Well, there'll have to be a fund. And I think there is a fund if you take the chairman on what he said last night from rugby, saying how much money they're going to earn in the next 4 years. So basically, you know what he said to the player managers out there?
Look out, boys, we're coming for you. 100%.
Is he going to be by coming out and signing Wendell Saylor, signing Joseph for 1.6, that's fine. But then on the interview with Denny last night, he said, we're going to make all this money. So if you're a player manager with a great young rugby union player or a great rugby league player, what do you think you're doing? You're knocking on the door and saying...
Isn't that an indictment on rugby union's junior pathways, Laurie, that they're going to get this money and go straight to a rival sport and try to raid them? Shouldn't they be putting that money into their own junior development?
Would have, should have, could have. I reckon right now they want the shop front window to be strong so young boys and girls can look up to them and go, I want to stay in rugby. And I reckon they did that when they went and signed Lottie, Wendell, Rogers. I reckon that,
who all came back to league, I might add, Clucky. Oh, mate, took the big money.
Yeah, correct.
And then... said, but at mate, the end of my contract, I'm going back to the game I love.
The next 3 years for Rugby Australia is massive. And if these three, if they go and sign 3 or 4 players out of the NRL to get more youngsters playing, mate, I reckon it's worth the risk as well. Look at where rugby is now. I reckon it's worth the risk. I'm not having a shot at rugby for doing this. I actually think complete opposite.
Yeah, failure's not an option for them.
Mate.
With what's coming up, if they stuff this up, then post-2027, the abyss could be...
Yeah, I agree.
How far has rugby dropped in the pecking order? We all know rugby league's number one. Is A-League? AFL? Are they ahead of rugby union now?
We're even having that
combo.
I mean,
cricket's obviously ahead of it. Has it dropped to 4 or 5?
Well, I think Fox Sports said it all.
Yeah, I agree.
With how they didn't re-sign it.
Yeah.
Well, you don't have it on free.
You have one game. You have one game on free-to-air?
Yeah. Sunday evening.
But
there never used to be games on free to wear, except for the Wallabies.
Yeah, but again,
and the sport was going pretty well. Let's go 10 years ago, 10, 20 years ago.
Know or want to follow because they're not superstars.
No, exactly.
They walk down Pitt Street and you wouldn't know the Wallabies, Laurie.
Sorry?
They could walk down Pitt Street and wouldn't get an autograph.
Mm. Yeah,
no one knows them.
Yeah.
Again, hence, Suoli'i is now the one that will be recognised.
Yeah. I've got a theory as well that, you know, the kids now coming through 21, 22, they've actually never watched us win the Bledisloe Cup.
Mm.
Whereas back 10, 15 years ago, the kids coming through and seeing that success. Yeah. So coming out of school, more did play rugby, go straight to rugby. Whereas now, as soon as that league offer comes in, you know, we know how well league is followed and marketed. No wonder they go down that path as well. Anyway, before you go, Bulldog, we need an ambush for this week. Willow from Windsor wants one.
Willow.
Have you got an ambush coming?
You know Willow from Windsor's Hawkesbury cricketer, Clarky, of high repute.
Yes, I do.
He's sent us many Benson's Lane musings on the text line.
Mate, my spies tell me he should go and play another sport.
So you've just sledged him?
Yeah, I've just sledged him. I do know Willow. He's a good fella.
Just can't bat.
Or bowl. Scotty Muller.
Well, you know the story that Clarkie ended Adam Pengilly's career. Anyway, you can ask him another time.
Not going there.
Mm. Ended his career.
Made his career. Gave him an opportunity. I gave him his first crack in first grade at Western Suburbs.
What happened?
He got dropped.
He made no runs, so I took his spot.
You pushed him in too quickly.
Mate, he was ready.
Couldn't run between the wickets, apparently.
On the text line, Middo, I live at Tallwoods Country Club at Halliday's Point. Correct weather forecast and the Reshes is delicious. Regards, Rooster Bob. There you go. So I will continue with the rural weather. Rural.
They love it.
Try saying that. Weather report.
They love it, Middo. Hang there in there. I love it.
A couple of suggestions for the next couple of days to get me through. Perfect. Now, that netball result the other day, Lots, I couldn't help but think if this happened in rugby league, how much people would be blowing up Deluxe. Mm-hmm. The farce of the year. And the result's going to stand between Collingwood and the Melbourne Vixens. The Vixens won 62-61 despite a Netball Australia review finding that the officials stuffed up twice in the dying stages. And the main one being the one that you pointed out on Monday, Lots, the Vixens were allowed consecutive centre passes. And
that's
one
a
by
big
one.
Stuff up, isn't
that
it?
That is an enormous stuff. I mean, Kath Cox, friend of the show, Diamonds legend, of course, has come out and said the score should have been overruled. And it should have been overruled. So, the result. So, that is, wow. Very controversial, for sure. If it happened in rugby league, we'd be talking about it for about a month. Now, we're going to talk some rugby. The Brumbies and the Waratahs this week in Canberra, Saturday evening. And joining us now is the chairman. There are the ACT Brumbies, Matt Nobbs. Matt, a very good morning to you.
Morning.
Now, Tarb Week, as it was always known, but I guess this fixture has lost a bit of its luster. How do we fix it?
I guess it has lost a little bit of its luster. I mean, we won't go into the occasion taking the Waratahs lightly, but I guess, you know, in years gone by, there were a lot of people that would come down the highway supporting the Waratahs, and then I suppose in the last couple of years it's been a little bit thin, and you know, I'm just sort of trying to put the call out there to motivate a few of the Waratah supporters and get them down the highway.
Did I see that you said you were going to shout Tar supporters in the bar there if they managed to beat the Brumbies on the weekend?
Yeah, well, if they're good enough to beat the Brumbies, I'm more than happy to shout any of the Waratah supporters a beer, and our beverage partner, Ben Spoke Brewery, have got behind that, so that it should be could be a good occasion.
Well, hopefully they get a few people down there to support them then, Matt. But the Brumbies themselves had a terrific start to the Super Rugby season.
Yeah, we have four from five, but there's a long way to go, so we're not getting too carried away at this point.
And I guess off the back of, you know, the fixture itself, Super Rugby Pacific, to what extent do you feel like this structure and format of the competition is working for your organisation and Australian rugby generally?
I think it's early days, but, you know, the ability to tweak the rules, the laws, as they call them in rugby, is working. The game certainly sped up, and I think the length of the game has reduced. So I guess that's sort of telling us that standing around and waiting for things to happen, you know, with your scrums and your lineouts, that's sort of being eliminated. So as a spectacle, it's certainly improved.
Matt, how's Steve Larkin been going, mate, as head coach? Have you enjoyed having him in that role?
Oh, he's been fantastic. I mean, he to be fair, he didn't have to do a lot. Dan McKellar's left the organisation in a great spot. But he's just added his own sort of flavour to it. He's tweaked a few things here and there. But, I mean, he's well supported by Laurie Fisher and Rod Sybe, who are tremendous assistant coaches.
Obviously, it's the big story of the week in rugby, the fact that Rugby Australia has gone and paid a reported huge amount of money. The numbers thrown up around the $1.6 million a year mark for Joseph Swali'i. What's your reaction to that signing?
Oh, I think it's fantastic. Fantastic for the code. You know, he's a marketable young man. He's played the game before. He's come from rugby. And, you know, the fact that at 17, 18 years of age, he's playing first grade or playing NRL, I mean, he's a tremendous athlete. So, you know, fantastic coup. Well done, Hamish McLennan and the team at Rugby Australia.
Matt, can I ask how it works? I mean, if you were to target or identify a player that, say, the Brumbies wanted to sign, does that come out of your budget or does it come out of the ARU? And are they quite supportive of supporting your suggestions?
It's a bit of both. So the way it's structured is that the player would have a Super Rugby contract with us, and then if they're on the national radar, they'd have a Rugby Australia contract with Rugby Australia.
How do you think, Matt, does rugby, I guess, develop those pathways just to keep, we were speaking about it before, keep the schoolboy stars out of league's clutches, that crucial sort of late teen years, as we've seen happen with Swali'i, him go to obviously play rugby, go to league, and now going back to rugby. And we know in Canberra, there's, you know, in the ACTs, some very, very strong schoolboy players there as well.
Yeah, yeah. I guess you've got to give them opportunity. One of the issues I think we've got, which gets forgotten, is that there's only five Super Rugby teams. And, you know, you've got, 16, 17 NRL teams. I think the key to it is identifying the talent early. We probably leave that a little bit too late. And making sure that there is a pathway for them and that, you know, they're happy in the system.
Mm. I was reading in the paper the other day, Matt, about a suggestion that was the Super Rugby season was going to start a little bit later in the year, start in May through to September, and they were going to play test matches in March and April. Is that something that's been raised with you guys?
Not at this stage. I think it's pretty much early days of that. It's an interesting one. The rugby calendar is just full. It's jam-packed. And the guys at the top level are playing a lot of rugby. That's a tough one. And as I said, I mean, we've got to give these up-and-coming guys opportunities to play the game. So, I guess they're looking at more fixtures. And as I said, giving those young kids an opportunity.
Well, Matt, we appreciate your time and hope it's a great occasion there at GIO Stadium on Saturday night.
Thanks, Jets. I'm sure it will be. Thanks very much.
Thanks so much, Matt Nobbs, Brumbies chairman, Brumbies Waratahs in Canberra Saturday night.
Going enormous at the moment, the Brumbies. Obviously, still got a lot of work to do.
Lost to the Crusaders on the weekend.
Yeah, but they rested a lot of players.
They did.
They rested a lot of players in that game. So they will be up this week against a Waratah side who will be desperate. So this will be a good game of footy.
8.5 is the line. Waratahs the plus. Head-to-head with Tab. Brumbies $1.27. Waratahs $3.50. And for any Waratah supporters, you can pull the shock off. They're going to shout
ambush.
Ambush territory.
Ambush territory.
Waratah ambush.
Is this an ambush? I'm just reading from the England Barmy Army Twitter page. Pup.
What are they going for?
Guess who's predicted a 5-0 whitewash in the Ashes this year? Give you one.
Glenn McGrath. Yeah.
5-0 Australia. Says the pitch.
I love Pidgey, but I reckon there might be a touch of sarcasm in Glenn's statement there. I don't think we're winning 5-0.
He's consistent, though, with his prediction.
I thought we could win in India as well. We could have won in India. I think we will win the Ashes.
We blew the India series.
Before a ball was bowled. I think we can, and I think we will win the Ashes.
You think we will?
I think we can.
Definitely can.
And I think we will.
Of course we can.
And I think we will.
Yeah, I'm not there yet.
If they learn from what just happened in India. There you go. I don't want to hear we made the right decisions in preparation for India, because that is 100% garbage. We did not make the... Our preparation was not what it needed to be.
Best ball suited England? Conditions. England conditions.
Be interesting. Well, they've done it.
Yeah. It depends on what they produce. Summer, depends what England. Wickets they produce as well. But yeah, they're bowling. Their bowling is stronger in England than any other country. Because Anderson and Broad are brilliant in their own backyard. But they are both getting older. So, you know, we still had times over there against Anderson and Broad where we dominated them. We scored plenty of runs. Blokes made hundreds. So you can get on top.
Yeah.
It's just when you get on top.
Yeah, because they're going to give you opportunities.
Yeah, for sure. And, mate, they're older, so they're not going to be able to bowl. They mightn't be able to bowl if it's hot as well. They mightn't be able to bowl those 10, 12 over spells. You might have to get through a 4-over spell of Anderson with a brand new ball. Or Broad. Yeah. But
I'd be worried about would be Archer as well. Just Joffre something Archer's different.
Good, quick X factor.
Yeah.
But, mate, there's nothing wrong with if we're fully fit, our quicks are pretty good as well in those conditions. If Stark can swing it, get Hazelwood back fit, Cummins at his best, Scotty Boland, he'll be tough, line and length, bit of seam. It's not bad with someone that's got 300 test wickets, Nathan Lyon. Pretty good attack, I reckon.
We'll chat, obviously, with Mossy in the next couple of days. But just some sad news in football. Football Australia Hall of Fame inductee Manfred Schaefer, who migrated to Australia from East Germany when he was 10 years of age and was part of the Socceroos squad at the 1974 World Cup, has sadly passed away at the age of 80. He went on to coach Marconi, Sydney Olympics, stacks of other teams around up your light car, Parramatta Power as well. So Manfred Schaefer passed away aged 80. 2-1 last night, Ecuador over the Socceroos in Melbourne. Dave Stanley.
Hello, Jared. How are you, mate?
I'm super. Jared. Super.
Looking forward to, yes, Laurie.
Jared.
Michael, good morning,
buddy.
To you all.
Good morning to you.
Are we pumped for the weekend?
I'm actually ravenous.
Yeah. And I like the fact that we're getting this rain and moisture earlier in the week.
Like a bit of moisture.
Yes.
In the deck.
It's always good to have a bit of moisture in the deck, because you know the ball will just be...
You want it tough early, but then you want it good batting conditions.
You want to have him poking.
Exactly.
Just sort of not forward, whether to go forward or back. 100%. Just in that no-go zone.
And have you seen the forecast for Friday and Saturday?
Not a cloud in the sky
Not
Friday.
Not a cloud in the sky. Does it ever make you wonder what's on your mind? Or my mind? What was that song?
Don't know. Good song, though.
But
is Saturday good?
It's Saturday's good, too.
Okay.
Saturday's very good. So today on the show, because obviously we do have a racing show coming up after 9 o'clock, although some people would probably...
How's your racing show going?
It's going good, Michael.
That's good.
You've been listening?
Still enjoy it? I've never listened.
You've never listened?
Never.
No. How did you go at Albury the other week with the kids? Did anyone turn up?
At the airport?
Did anyone turn up, Laurie?
No, no one turned up.
Gee, you can pull a crowd. That's good.
We sat in the corner.
How good? You can pull a crowd.
What time's the show finish? I can't listen. I get in my car and drive.
1 o'clock?
And that's music time.
1 o'clock. What music do you put on, actually? That'd be something.
So I go Spotify, just a playlist.
Yeah, but depends. Anything in particular?
No,
not Panao,
really.
Maybe?
Panao, yeah, not bad. I don't mind the old, like, the daily mix or the chill. You get, like, a chill.
Are you a skipper?
Yeah, if I don't like it.
So you'll just go move on? You won't sort of, just constant?
Skipper. Yeah.
Yeah, and the crew's home. Mate, I've been talking for 3.5 hours with these two. I just want some music.
3.5. You've been talking for 3.5.
I've been talking for longer. Since 4:30 a.m. Since I get in here.
Yeah, so I go to 1 o'clock, Michael. If you'd ever like to tune in,
maybe open
a tab account. Bets Friends. We've got some good promotions available.
Yeah, probably not, but thanks.
Take a quaddy on the weekend. I think it'd be outstanding. And then 12 o'clock, we finish Take Note with Daylight Saving. So it'll be 9 to 12 after Daylight Saving.
Hour
9
off.
To 1 at the moment, yeah.
Mate.
So
what?
I know. Hang on,
so do we finish at 8?
No.
Now why is that?
Right through. Daylight saving because of the National Racing Service, Lauren.
Ah, yes.
Yeah.
Has that always been the case?
No, it hasn't. So it's something new that's just come in. So it's fantastic.
Same pay half the time.
Oh, mate.
This is ridiculous.
Mate, if I was getting paid as much as you,
seriously.
John O'Shea, speaking of getting paid, he might get a little collect on the weekend. I know you
Boston
guys.
Running?
Well, Lost and Running. He's got those three Doncaster runners. They all drew wide, though. So we've got John joining us, Adrian Bott. Will join us. Alligator Blood going around the Doncaster. Graham Rodgenson Joe Pride and Tony McAvoy. What are you looking?
No.
Nothing. Adrian Bott.
No, no, he was thinking Roger.
Oh, Roger. Graham Rogerson.
Rogerson, yes.
That's what I said.
No, you didn't.
What did I say?
No, don't go there, mate. Who are you thinking, Roger?
I said Graham Rogerson, didn't I? Did I
might
not
have
say
been
that?
A bit of a slip up.
Oh, okay. Mm. I didn't even notice. See, you wouldn't have noticed until you pulled
me
up.
We've never made an error.
See, I never.
What did I say? Oh, did I?
Rogerson.
Rogerson.
Mm.
Okay.
See, I never picked you up.
Gee, tell you what, he's harsh, isn't he?
No, I didn't say anything. He goes, what are you laughing at? I said, no, I don't want to say it. He goes, go on.
Mate,
I wasn't going to say anything. We don't make mistakes
on this program.
So, Rogerson, Graham Rogerson, not Rogerson.
Is any relation to Roger?
The Dodger. Now,
Long Bay, Rog.
Long Bay. People
mate,
listen.
They're our listeners.
I've told you. People
shout
listen.
Out. Shout out to Rog.
Too. Now, I want some tips from you blokes. Yeah, I want some tips. I want a tip for...
A restaurant?
Do you want my tip?
No. I want a tip.
Do you want my tip? Work
no,
hard, be good to your mother.
Now, I want a tip for Saturday. I want you all, including yourself, Michael.
Okay.
I want you all to give me a tip for one of the big races. It has to be one of the group ones. And I reckon we talk to Dicko, and I'll throw one in as well.
Mate, I'm in too many multis.
But that's good. That's the whole point. It doesn't matter how many multis.
I'm going
to speak no, not to, when you cop abuse when they lose.
One I'm going to speak to Dave O and Adam because I'm not listening
to them. One of them's got to land. So I reckon I'm keen if we all pick a horse in each of the group ones and we take a little multi. We call it a BSB Racing HQ mod just for the group ones because there's four group ones. So, and there's obviously four of us.
I mean,
yeah.
So
I'm
let's just
too.
Take it, and they can either run a place, or I reckon all just run a place, or mm-hmm. run top four.
Mm-hmm.
That can be something that Dicko can do, and we can mention it on Friday morning. So we can do your Lozza double, right? Because punters out there will want to get involved.
Mm. He's diluting your product.
Yeah, he's not happy, Lozza.
He's
look,
diluting
look
your product.
Look at his face. He's not happy one
but
bit.
But Michael, I want you to
no,
pick.
I'm
I know
speak,
you listen
speak,
to Brad.
No, I'm going to speak to Dave O and Adam. I like their advice.
Well, punters, that's a million to one that you're leaving. You would not. Well, you're going to get in the car on the way home and ring Brad Davidson.
I'll speak to him radio tomorrow. I'm not calling him. I'm going to speak to him tomorrow. I'll speak to him, mate.
But ask him about the mackerel down in the line.
Have we got Dave O and Adam both on tomorrow?
Yes.
Mate, okay. I'll have my answer
so
by tomorrow.
Okay, so I need it by tomorrow afternoon.
Easy.
And then Friday at 8:50, we'll open it. And we might say to Dicko, give us a little 20-minute gap. So it'll be a real sort of, you know, like when they ring at Coles and say, hey, the hot chooks are on sale.
Do they? Who rings from Coles?
Well, I've told you that story when I was first moved out of home.
Mate.
And you go bad on the punt. Laurie, you could relate to this.
Surely. I know exactly what you're talking about.
Mate, you always go to Coles, Michael, at 8:55 because the chicken's on sale.
What do they call it? The red light special?
They used to have the red spot special and they'd come over.
Hang on, red spot, red light.
The deli would say all the chickens are half price and you get the chook. Mate, okay. When you're going bad on the punt, mate.
An extra 3 cents is important. I get it.
There's a whole other world out there.
Oh, really? Yeah.